day of the interview with Judge Dixon, and the date today is, if I'm not mistaken, September 26th, 1991, and this is tape 5, side 1. It was really an interesting find to get this report on the session of 1939 by Monroe Sweetland. And I'm not sure where you'd like to begin, but it would be good to have your thoughts about Monroe Sweetland, your impressions of the man from that period.
Well, Monroe Sweetland was a very liberal thinker and a very determined and forceful man. He, I don't believe, was very tolerant of anyone that opposed his views, and he and I did not agree on many particulars, although we had no open arguments about it. I just didn't agree with a lot of his views. He was a dominant figure in the political arena at that time, and continued to be so for a number of years. As time went on, some of his ideas were adopted and others, of course, were rejected. But he was a very liberal-minded individual, interested in public welfare.
What kinds of points of difference did you have with him?
Well, for instance, you mentioned the Townsend Plan the other day. While I was in favor of old age pensions and contributions to the elderly in need, I did not favor any program that was the result of taxation for their sole benefit. I felt that if they were to receive any benefit, some contribution should be made by them, such as was done in connection with the Social Security program. I hardly approve of the Social Security program that was adopted because it required the expectant beneficiaries to make some contribution to match the funds contributed by the government. And this, I thought, was entirely appropriate. It's somewhat similar to buying insurance. Mm-hmm. And of course, Monroe wanted it funded directly by the government, which was just another way of handing out a sum of money to all people, irregardless of their contributions or their particular entitlement to the reward, and was based solely on need and age.
Mm-hmm. And any other points that you differed over?
I don't think there was any particular views that he expressed that I disagreed with, except maybe in connection with public power. I think he was his view was more radical than mine on that issue. And I'm not even sure of that because I don't remember now just what all of the arguments were about. But I know there was a great debate at the time over the establishment of utility districts and how they were going to be funded and how they were going to be operated. And it was, of course, violently opposed by the power companies. But eventually they succeeded in adopting a public utility bill that I thought was reasonably fair and provided for relief from federal taxes and also provided for proper funding by the issuance of municipal bonds. And there were some features that I thought were rather risky. I wasn't really an enthusiastic supporter, but I think I'd have to again look at my record to be sure, mm-hmm. but I think I did support the public power issue. Mm-hmm. I haven't the remotest idea what my record would reveal because I haven't seen it in 50 years.
Yeah. Well, just how radical was Monroe?
Well, I guess that's a matter of opinion. At that time, his opponents thought he was extremely radical. And of course, those who favored some reform for the benefit of people generally thought he was a champion. So it's kind of hard, I guess, to determine the degree of liberalism that anyone advocated, except to say that the changes that he was advocating in government philosophy were untried and new and different.
I guess by this time he was working for the Commonwealth Federation.
I really don't know.
Did people identify him as a communist or?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. That charge arose later.
Well, he was a very liberal thinker and an outspoken critic. I don't think he was very charitable with his opposition. He disagreed violently at times with his opposition and expressed himself so. But after all, that's permissible in this country.
But you'd never know it from reading that article that he wrote. He seemed so measured and generous and
well
to all sides.
I suppose there are several different ways in which you can express your ideas of disagreement, some of which are more violent than others. But he was very, very outspoken in connection with his beliefs and critical of his opponents. I suppose on a personal basis it would be offensive to the individuals involved.
And so perhaps in debate...
I know at times it was offensive to me. I felt I was offended by his abrupt criticisms, and just because I didn't agree with him.
Oh, so you actually got into it with him?
No, not really. I just ignored it. I think, if I'm not mistaken, he and Senator Tom Mahoney were delegates to the 1948 Democratic Convention in Philadelphia, and he and I were on opposite sides of the fence on many issues presented at that convention, and I think he and Tom both were, I think probably the proper word is overbearing in the presentation of their ideas.
Oh, Tom Mahoney also, huh?
Yes.
Was Tom Mahoney...
Tom Mahoney originally was a Republican. And he switched parties and became a Democrat and was a very outspoken senator in the Oregon legislature and a very outspoken individual at the Democratic Convention in 48.
Were his ideas similar to Monroe's?
I think he did more or less subscribe to the same ideas that Monroe Sweetland did.
See, I hadn't realized that in... What little I had learned about Tom Mahoney, I was imagining that he was a pretty conservative person.
Well, I think at one time he probably was. And he switched his party affiliation. And when he did, I think he took on a different set of values.
Is that right? Was it a change of heart, do you think?
I really don't know.
You didn't know him that closely.
I knew him quite well, but he was, should I say, in a way, a political adversary. I really didn't have a very high regard for him. When I ran for judge, he sued me to try to prevent me from taking office. And that didn't particularly generate any goodwill.
And why was he doing that? I mean,
because I lived in Oswego, and that was in Clackamas County, and the judgeship was in Multnomah County. But at that time, the law provided that anyone who lived within 10 miles of the county boundary was eligible to run for circuit judge in Multnomah County. And I, of course, lived in Oswego, which was only about 8 or 9 miles from downtown Portland and only a few miles from the county boundary. So I was well within my legal ability, or legal right, I should say, to run for that particular office. But he sued to disqualify me at the last minute and received a lot of publicity over his lawsuit, but lost his case, of course, in the courts.
Did he dislike you, or why did he go to this
I
length?
Really haven't any idea.
Or was he working for your opponent? Or
I really don't know.
Oh, uh-huh.
At that time, a district judge, Burke, was also running for the same office, and it had the effect of splitting the vote, so that I won, and Judge Burke was second, I think, and Tom Mahoney finished third.
Oh.
I'm not even positive about that order of result either.
Oh, I see. He was campaigning for that office.
He was campaigning for the same office, and so was Judge Burke.
Well,
but in any event, it didn't generate any good feeling, so far as I'm concerned. And in later years, he was very friendly to me, never antagonistic, but.
Did people doubt the sincerity of his liberal views?
Well, there again, I couldn't answer for anyone except myself. So far as I was concerned, I think he always considered Tom Mahoney first, and the effect later.
I was interested in the subject, your remarks about the PUDs. In general, the legislation that finally was established made it more difficult to create PUDs in Oregon than in Washington.
Yes,
because
that's
it
true.
Split the process. Did the legislators at the time realize this?
Oh, I'm sure they did. They were fully aware of all the consequences, and they were well informed.
Were some of them interested in making it more difficult to?
Oh, I think some were more liberal than others, and the conservatives, of course, were some of them were more opposed than others. It's like any political controversy. There are variations of degree of support and opposition.
So they found a way to affect the outcome, which was...
I'm sure they reached a satisfactory compromise, or it would never have passed.
But the upshot it was that few were formed in Oregon, in contrast to the many in Washington.
Well, Oregon people generally have been pretty independent in their thinking. And I think for the most part, the people in Oregon more or less ignore the condition and of the mind of other voters and are pretty independent in their thinking. Oregon, of course, leads the way, you know, in lots of matters. Oregon people for a long time have opposed a sales tax, and yet all of their neighbors all around have sales taxes. And Oregon, of course, was the first state in the Union to have the laws permitting the initiative and referendum. It's been sort of a pioneer, and Oregon stands out in the nation now on its environmental restrictions and building restrictions and so on. In fact, Oregon is sort of the envy of many of the politicians in the state of Washington because of our system of land control. So I think the people of Oregon have been very different from the rest of the nation. I think I don't know whether it's because they're better informed or just more independent.
Mm-hmm. I'm really aware of that sense of uniqueness and the leadership and currently, but was this same sense of leadership in Oregon being out front, was it developed at that time?
Did people think it's been in existence since the beginning of time.
And people really felt that at the time?
I think, sure. Mm-hmm. I think all of the government officials all along have always felt that way. They sort of feel that Oregon is a leader. Mm-hmm. When you stop to think about the fact that Oregon is only one of 5 states in the union that doesn't have a sales tax, mm-hmm. it gives you some idea of the independence of the Oregon people.
Mm-hmm. Well, Frank Lonergan fought very hard for a sales tax.
Yes, that's right.
He was doing so in your 2 terms in the Senate, too.
That's right.
It just was the wrong time to attempt something like that, or the circumstances were not good for it. It seems like they would have been.
It has been a matter of resistance all through the years. I don't think anybody has ever been able to satisfy the legislature or the people of Oregon that we should have a sales tax. Mm-hmm. Whether it's because they don't feel that the poor people should be taxed or what their individual thinking is, I'm not prepared to state, but mm-hmm. I just know that there has been a determined resistance to a sales tax,
yeah.
right from the very beginning.
Uh-huh. Speaking of Frank Lonergan, I wonder if you could give some impression of the Frank Lonergan that you knew.
Oh, Frank Lonergan was a very bold, outstanding man. He had a very firm voice, and he expressed his ideas very eloquently and very forcefully at all times. And he was a pretty sharp political mind and a very, very good judge. He was fair-minded, but a regular two-fisted fighter, you might say, when he took a position on a matter. Characteristic of his early training, I suppose, at Notre Dame when he was a football player.
Mm-hmm.
But he was really quite a well-informed individual, mm-hmm. and a very forceful leader.
Mm-hmm. I get the impression he was popular.
He was very popular. Okay. Very, very popular. Mm-hmm. Popular among the lawyers for his legal ability. He was an excellent trial lawyer, mm-hmm. really a very fine trial lawyer. And he had a gift of oratory that was unequaled at the time. Mm-hmm. He was just a very fine leader of men.
Mm-hmm. Are there some instances or incidents that you can recall that illustrate the kind of operator or kind of person he was?
Well, I told you about the conflict he and I had in the House of Representatives. Mm-hmm. When I was interested in lowering the rates on small loans, and he was my opponent, resisting any change. And he and I were engaged in debate all day long, and we got into so much controversy that we had the House resolved into a committee of the whole House and took up the bill section by section and argued to beat the band all the way through all day long. And the final result on the count was 31-29, and at the last minute, the vote was changed the other way. And obviously, Frank planned the parliamentary strategy so that the person who voted for it originally and then changed his mind did that so that in the event the bill passed, he would be in a position to vote for a reconsideration of the bill. Mm-hmm. The rules being that in order to vote for reconsideration of the bill, you had to be on the side that favored it originally. Mm-hmm. So Frank was a very clever, shrewd parliamentarian, mm-hmm. and also a very forceful opponent.
Mm-hmm.
And this, of course, happened right at the very beginning of my legislative career. Mm-hmm. And like any other contest, you always have a great deal of respect for the opponent who wins according to the rules of the game and gives you a sound thrashing. I'm sure most everybody feels that way. If you have a fair fight with a fella and he licks you, well, you have a admiration and respect for his ability and for him as an individual, mm-hmm. because he was fighting for a cause that he believed in, mm-hmm. and very skillfully.
Uh-huh. Were you angry at the time?
No.
Well,
we were loud and expressing our opinions. If he shouted, I shouted. Mm-hmm. To describe it in the vernacular, we were vociferous about it.